The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Dell, along with Michael here on ESPN 97.5. No Lance. Still has horrible, rotten peg. He was bemoaning his situation all day yesterday. Didn't you feel like, okay, stop, because it's kind of embarrassing right now.
Yeah, we have the group chat called Glory Boys. It's more like P-Boys for Lance. Stop being a puss.
Yeah.
Enough.
Okay, no. Enough. Oh, my mouth hurts. I don't know how long, and it makes my pee-pee hurt, too.
I'm popping perks. Yeah. All the pain. I don't care, bro.
Yeah. Go drive around like Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. You can drive around on perks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Molly Percocet. That's exactly what you should be doing.
It's in the wrong tone, John. When you say it, it's less cool.
No, it's exactly what he says. Molly Percocet.
You have to have a bit of a tone. You're not going at the right cadence.
Well, yes, I kind of am. I mean, I am John versus Genius. So I don't think you know what's going on.
No, because I've heard you in John versus Genius. And much like that segment where your cadence is way off from the actual rapper itself, you're continuing that.
Let me ask you this question. Because how many Bird Box references did you see on that referee's call?
I didn't, because I just wanted to go to bed.
Have you seen Bird Box yet?
I did see it on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. So they made the movie, what's his name? Jim from The Office and his wife made the movie about...
Quiet Place?
Yeah, Quiet Place.
John Krasinski.
Pardon me?
John.
Yeah, John, I know. He's Jim from The Office. They made the movie about you can't make any sounds. Now you can't look at anything. When are they going to make the movie about you can't smell? If you smell, you'll die. If you smell anything, so everybody's got to walk around.
I'm not sure
with their nose.
I'm not sure being able to smell leads you to commit suicide
really?
Like that movie.
What if it's really bad farts that the aliens bring? I mean, such bad farts that they'll kill
that's
you.
That's not a concept I've seen explored. Alien farts.
You can't look at anything and you'll die. You can't make any noise. You can't hear anything and you'll die.
Well, the can't look
now, at... Now, if you smell farts, you'll die.
Well, we've had the noise thing. A Quiet Place is the most recognizable one, but that's been a thing for a long time. I watched a horror movie where the guy was blind, but he had a great sense of hearing. Like this old man, he would kill you. And if you're in his house, he had all these traps. And if you made noise, he would murder you pretty much. I've seen it. A Quiet Place did it more dramatically. But
wait a minute. If you made a noise, you kill.
He would find you and kill you. It wasn't automatic, but yeah. He could sense where you were if you made noise, but he couldn't see you. So you had to just be completely quiet.
So you just ruined the end of Blind Box for everybody. You're talking about blind people.
That wasn't Bird. No, that's Bird a Box. Different movie.
Yeah.
No, Bird Box is a completely different ending.
You just destroyed it for everybody.
No, I didn't. That's a different movie altogether.
So, anyway, how many? Watch Kevin Durant. He's 3 feet. There's a ref right on the baseline.
He's not interested in that call.
And he's watched. Honestly, these refs have to, they have to be, there's got to be some sanctions for this. He is 3 feet out, both feet are out of bounds. He throws the ball back in. It is the most ridiculous missed call that I think I've ever seen.
I'm not sure what that ref is doing, because we were up, the initial play or live, we're obscured, the fans are standing up. I just assumed he never reestablished himself, that he made the play in the air. Now, that should be Rockets ball either way. I just assume, okay, the ref blew a call because Kevin Durant never reestablished himself in bounds. He was up in midair. No, he had 2 feet
on the ground,
out of bounds, and he still didn't make the call.
For those of you that didn't watch last night, you didn't stay up last night, the Rockets went in overtime. This is an overtime. The Rockets were up, and Kevin Durant goes out of bounds to save the basketball. Literally, he's 3 feet, both feet out of bounds.
It was tied at the time.
It was tied, and he throws it back in to, and eventually Steph gets it and knocks down a mid-range jumper. So they're up by two, and James Harden puts up the most ridiculous three-point shot I've ever seen that goes. He right now is the most unbelievable basketball player I think I've ever, honestly, I don't know. And Daryl Morey put out there that, again, that he's the greatest scorer ever. And you can make this argument now.
And it's funny because he was great, and it completely overshadows Clint Capela's 29 and 21.
Yeah.
No one's talking about that.
No.
And the Rockets were balanced. I mean, you got contributions from Daniel House and Austin Rivers and Gerald Green. And James was doing his thing, but he hadn't. It's casual now for him to go for 30-plus points. But then he had the three late in the fourth to tie the game because the Warriors went up six, and then Capela had an and one, and he made the free throw to get him within three off of Steph Curry foul. Then James made a three to tie the game. And then he became what he has been, the best player in the game for the last month in the fourth quarter in overtime.
He is simply unbelievable. And I don't know. And I think there's so much. I'm getting away from it. I think I got away from it a little bit last year. And then the 0 for 27 really it hurt. I don't think it hurt James as much as Game 5 did, or the 12 turnover game in Game 5 against the Warriors in, what was that, 14? The elimination James has been bad. But this dude is on another level now. I don't think I've ever seen a guy that is, and I watched, you know, I'm from Chicago, so I was a Bulls fan, Michael Jordan Bulls fan. But my goodness, I don't know that even he could compare to what James Harden is doing. I really don't. And now, this is regular season, and obviously you got to take it with a grain. And everybody's like, "Well," and I think this Texans thing is much the same. Right now, we're all. I mean, I think that this city does have a level of excitement about this Houston Texans team. It's taken a while, but I think we all are excited. It'll all be ruined this whole season. Not that it'll be ruined. It'll still be a good season. 11-5 is a nice season, and all of that. And this will. And last year was a really nice year for the Rockets. A really nice year. They were the number one seed. They played great. 65 wins. All of the stuff that they did last year, surpassing all of their regular season greatness. And then it was ruined by 0-27 and not making it to the NBA Finals. This city is waiting to explode for James Harden and for these Houston Texans. I really believe that. They got to show up. And James is, you know, all of this stuff, and all of this stuff is great. And I think we're watching something that is unbelievable right now. Yet we're all taking it. Are you not taking it with a grain of salt until you see him do it in the postseason?
I'm not even taking it with a grain of salt. What he's doing is spectacular. It's just, and I'm not taking it with a grain of salt. I understand what he's doing, but the Rockets have built themselves up to a point where it's championship or nothing.
Yeah.
It's not downgrading what James has done, but they're not a team that regular season goals and success means that much anymore.
Right.
You win a title, then we can celebrate what you have accomplished. And that sucks because it's become all or nothing for them. But and I guess rightfully so, they set themselves up. That's the stated goal. We want to win a title. So this regular season stuff is great. The win is great. We've seen them beat the Warriors in Oakland before, and they did it again in maybe the best game of the year in the NBA. But until they fulfill the promise that they had last year and what they believe they're capable of, it's okay. That's great. Let's see what you do in June.
I wholeheartedly agree. I do think this, though. I really do believe that these Warriors are susceptible this year.
Well, they were last year.
Yeah, I guess.
No, they were.
No, they were. I mean, they had them, and they should have, you know, again, they were hamstring away and blah, 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 blah.
But it's more. They're more vulnerable this year.
They are.
Even if they got through the West, you could see multiple teams in the East giving them a series and maybe winning it.
I think everybody is looking at them now like, what, we can beat them. We can't, and they are beatable. That's only the second time out of 158 games that Steve Kerr has coached these Warriors that they've blown a 20-point lead. 156-1 going into last night's game, and 156-2 now, because the Warriors had a 20-point lead that they, without Chris Paul, without Eric Gordon, how in the world, what?
And it happened early. I mean, Steph, I think, to open up the game, second half, I'm not sure if it was the first bucket, maybe the Rockets scored first. He had an and one, and you thought, okay, this is going to get ugly. It was already ugly. This is going to be a runaway. And the Rockets immediately chopped it under 10 really quickly. Like, I think within 4 minutes of the third quarter elapsing, it was under 10. So you thought, okay, now we got a ball game. And because of the way the Rockets play, even though the Warriors are great at making jumpers, they held the Rockets off for as long as they could. But the Rockets are this force that if when they make threes, it just rains down. James made 10 of them last night. He only made three other buckets. He was 13 to 32, 10 to 23 from three, but they made 21 overall. And it's not like the Warriors didn't make shots. They made 14. It's just the Rockets took 54 of them and made 21. And you can't really compete with that. I mean, the Rockets shot. The Warriors actually had more shots, actually made more shots, but the Rockets made seven more threes and got to the free throw line and made 10 more of them.
Unbelievable run. It's now scored 40 points in five straight games, tied for the third longest streak in the last 50 seasons, trailing only streaks by Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. Besides Jordan Bryant, only Allen Iverson has had a five-game streak in this time, besides James Harden. He's averaging in this 12-game stretch right now, he's averaging 40.1, 6.6 rebounds, and 9.0 assists in these 12 games, with the Rockets going 11-1 during that stretch. They're doing this without Chris Paul. They're doing that. They went in there. They were losing by 20 points to a healthy Warriors team that is at home. That was as unbelievable as it gets. And they had to beat the refs as well. That was the most egregious. And James, a little bit earlier, James got hacked in the lane where he missed a shot that was just unbelievable that there was no call. I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I don't think Tim Donaghy was on this game. But I don't know how in the world these refs are not sanctioned. I can't. If the NBA doesn't do something or say something, did they have a statement about it?
I have not seen that yet.
No. Okay.
They usually come out with their under 2 minute report the day after. And usually when they think they're in the right, there will be one. I think they go on Twitter. Maybe the NFL does. I think the NBA might have their own refs Twitter account, and they'll come on and talk about calls and why they were right or wrong. I haven't seen anything because there's nothing else. I said during during show prep that there shouldn't even be an after under 2 minute report. It should be, you guys know what happened. They should just say, you guys know what happened.
There's nothing
we can say.
Really? Hey, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in right now on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I'm going to be at Prime after the show playing in the tournament today. Come get my bounty. I got a $100 bounty if you knock me out. Also, February 9th, a 20,000 free roll tournament. Play your way in now through January 31st at Prime, 7801. So we got a $20,000 free roll, but you got to play your way in. That'll be awesome. So get on over to Prime, 7801. Come play with today. I'm the bounty. Starts at noon. It's just $120 to enter the tournament today. Come on. Hey, hey. With a catchy
chorus and beat so they can sing along. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 717 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. Donovan wants to get in here, and he was a contest winner. I don't know which one it was. Michael, pull him up. Let's get Donovan in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Donovan? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good, man.
What'd you win?
Hey, I was the week 9 winner for the Beat the Memo guy.
Oh, okay.
What, yeah, man, I just wanted to call in and let them, let y'all know, man, we had a good time. We went to the Texas-Jacksonville game past Sunday. And, man, we had a good time, the limo ride, Nick's place. I took my brother-in-law and his wife. That was their first NFL game, man. It was lovely, man. So I just want to call in and say thank y'all, man. Had a good time, and I'm looking forward to trying to do it again next year.
Awesome. You think you can beat Limo Guy again next year?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's pretty terrible. No, you're right. He actually had a great year. Donovan, we appreciate it. That's great. Thanks for calling in. I'd love to hear from the guys who won the staycation. Going to the Houstonian, because that was a wonderful giveaway that we had. I know we had a great weekend. We did it over Christmas, my wife and I, and it is just unbelievable how nice it is there. I'd love to hear. Somebody is doing it in January as well. We gave one away at the Christmas party, and you'll have your staycation in January here. But whoever won it in December before the holidays, I'd love to hear from them. And we had that was awesome. By the way, we haven't even talked about the Christmas party, how many giveaways we had and how awesome it was. I want to thank everybody for coming out, everybody who came out there, and a bunch of you did. I don't know how many Kobos Q, what did they say? I forget how much meat, how many tacos and quesadillas they made. It was like an unbelievable number.
Yeah, and I said it a couple times. They come out and that was their, okay, we're doing this, we're just helping you guys out. That's not what they're always all about, and even that stuff was awesome. So you guys need to check those guys out.
Yeah, really. They're up in Atascocita up there, and Kobos Q, and they do an unbelievable job. I mean, they put it on Twitter. I'm following them on Twitter, and it is unbelievable how good looking that the meat that this dude cooks up. He is something. He is really, really good. So if you're looking for a great place up there to get some Q, go to Kobos Q. But we appreciate him, and thanks again for everybody. We didn't mention it yesterday. It was my first day back. I wanted to thank everybody for coming out. That was just a great time had by all. And in fact, I gave Kobos my Texans tickets, because his son had never gone to a game, so they got to go, and that was a great one for his son to see. Now we got this Saturday's game. The Texans are playing again, first game.
Well, that's their slot.
It really kind of is. I mean, with Dallas playing and the Bears playing, Bears in Philadelphia, those are two big markets. Not that Seattle's a big market, but Dallas is America's team, so they get the night slots. I get that. I understand that. I get that. Saturday afternoon at 3:35, I guess, is better than noon on Sunday. I don't know. That's where Baltimore and San Diego are playing. I don't know. I don't know if it's any better.
I don't really know. I mean,
it doesn't bother me. It's just ridiculous, though. Like, the Astros didn't have one. They're the champs, and they didn't have one night game. You know, when they were in the divisional.
You've railed on baseball with their scheduling. They were the champs, and they started off where? As opposed to, baseball, marketing your product in the correct way.
Yeah.
The Astros are playing some random team that no one cares about to start the season. Baseball never gets it. We've heard the excuses on why the schedule's so difficult. I don't know that it matters so much about where they're playing, but I know there's sometimes an inferiority complex about, Why are we always getting the you might have called it the stinkhole slot in a different sports realm when the Rockets were just out of the playoffs every time?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess this is the equivalent.
It's this close to being in
the right spot, but you're actually
you're right there, right in the stinkhole.
So this would be, if of all the slots on Wild Card Weekend, this would be the stinkhole.
Yeah, I guess this is you know what? I don't care.
But it doesn't matter if you're a Texans fan.
No.
What you're building up to this game, you as long as you know the time, it's on TV. You're either going to the game or you're watching it. And after the game's over, hopefully it goes the way you want. And then you have the rest of the night to celebrate and go out and do whatever the hell you want to do.
I'm feeling better and better about this football game. I'm not feeling nearly as good, though, after seeing. And it's not like I haven't seen it with my human eyes already. I know that T.Y. Hilton is the Texans' daddy. I know that. He has been unfreaking believable every time he steps on the field here. It was unfortunate he called this his second home, and yep. J.J. didn't take kindly to that.
He wasn't appreciative of the reference. J.J. responded when he was asked or at least told about it. He said, "Nah, man, that's for clowns. That's for TV. That's what they do. You put something in their face, anybody can say it. Sounds good. It's easily said." I could easily say that, too. We could call the division our division since I've been here last 5 out of 8 years. It's not our first rodeo, so we'll be ready. And that quote I read verbatim from Stampede Blue, which is the Colts SB Nation site. And because it's a rivalry of sorts and it's the playoffs, that SB Nation site responded with clips of Jonathan Joseph versus T.Y. Hilton this year. Mm. And like you said, we knew it was bad, but the All-22 shows how bad it actually was.
Ooh, it is really, really, really not good watching Jake Joe time after time after time. Like, he's at some points he's like 10 yards off behind him or backing up, and he just breaks off his route and does an out, and J.J. is not even in the picture, and it's an All-22. The entire field is shown, and J.J.'s still not in the picture. I know J.J. didn't like the second home reference. It's kind of true.
And I said before we got started, J.J. won't see this because he'll be on the field getting ready, but it'll be a story, and there'll be a graphic of it before the game when they're talking about it, the gamer to get us ready for the game, about what T.Y. Hilton does in the city of Houston. Everyone knows it, and every time he makes a catch, we'll probably see the stat come up again.
Yep. Yeah.
He's from South Florida. He lives in Indianapolis, but this is his second home.
Yeah.
That stadium, at least.
Ryan Grant won't play. Pascal will play. Inman, it looks like, will play as well. I just want those guys to beat the Texans. That's all.
It'll be worse.
No, I really, if you shut down T.Y. Hilton, I'll take it because I'm tired of that dude beating you. I'm really sick. And somehow, some way, if you can slow that weapon down, I don't believe that the other guys have that big play capability like he does.
The only thing that has been the case is those guys have scored at some points either game deciding touchdowns or really big touchdowns. Pascal, has been a problem.
The Sharice Wright,
yeah. As long as Sharice Wright's on the field, Pascal is probably going to be a problem.
Yeah, I can see. And Sharice Wright will probably be on the field. He made a reemergence last week, and he did a nice job. But if he bites on that slant again, and gets beat on the corner once that corner route again, that is going to be that's unfortunate. But I would rather he beat you than let T.Y. Hilton own you again. Who'll have a bigger game, Nuke or T.Y.?
The numbers last time, Nuke was like 36
yards versus 199.
I believe that will change. I still will take... Well, T.Y.'s got the ankle thing. I'm still taking T.Y. The history says he's going to light the Texans up. And until I see different, I'm taking him. I think Nuke will clearly be better than the 36 yards he had in the last meeting.
I hope so. You see what happens when you take out the best receiver. Then you got, okay, then who's going to make plays for you? Obviously, the Texans have to have Nuke playing a big game. I mean, they have to. And 199 versus 36 was the last game. That was the differential. And Ryan Griffin had to step up, and he had 50 yards. I would rather see Eric Ebron and Inman or Pascal have big games than T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton breaks your back.
Now, Eric Ebron's had a really good year. 13 touchdowns. So he he's made a difference with Andrew Luck being back. But I get your point. If you're going to take your chances, you take your chances with the other guys. But I will say, Andrew Luck has found a way to, in big situations, to find those other guys. Even when T.Y. has lit you up, those other guys have found their way. But he is the catalyst. If you allow T.Y. to get going again, it's going to be it won't even be just on the field. In the crowd, people are like, "Oh, this is going to happen again."
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you got to have a guy over the top every single play with T.Y. Hilton. You got to have somebody over the top.
And he's been limited the last couple weeks. Now he did catch a touch. Actually, I'm looking at Ebron's numbers, who hasn't had a big last couple weeks. But T.Y. Hilton, the ankle may be your saving grace.
Yeah,
he's not healthy.
Two catches on 6 targets last week against Tennessee. And he did have a 43-yard catch though.
He talked about it. He thought he expected to be able to pull away from those guys, and he couldn't because of the issue. So hopefully, if you're a Texans fan and the Texans secondary, that issue remains.
Yep. He mispracticed Wednesday with the ankle issue, but he'll play. This is his house. It's 728 ESPN 97.5 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. Come on in.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's high quality basketball. Brings the level of intensity up. That's what we live for as basketball players, these type of environments. So, to your point, obviously, it's tough losing, especially at home, but you got to expect if we take care of business, they take care of business. You might see each other again in the playoffs, whatever the case is. But, just two talented teams going at it, and they got the best of us tonight.
That's if the Warriors make the playoffs.
You think this is going to put them into like a tailspin?
3 straight losses at home.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen.
No, it speaks to what you said before, that they're susceptible, and also it just speaks to they've been doing this for a long time, and there's going to be slippage. And usually, and if you're a Warriors fan or a Warriors in that organization, you say, "Fine, it'll happen the regular season, but once the playoffs get going, we'll be the same as we always been." And that's not always the case. So once the bad habits occur in the regular season, and sometimes you don't fix them. Sometimes the slippage is too much. I mean, whatever the Draymond Kevin Durant thing is, seems like that's been repaired. But it just they've been doing it so long. At some point, they're going to lose, and they look like they're ready to lose this year.
They're susceptible this year. We'll find out whether or not this Kevin Durant thing. I mean, obviously early on, it had an effect on him. It had an effect between him and Draymond. And, maybe they're not as cohesive as they've been in the past. We'll see. Boogie looked like he was coming back. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if he's regressed or something has happened, but he doesn't look like he's about close to coming. And I'm not convinced that Boogie makes them that much better, if you want to know the truth. They have to change their style of play.
Now, it'd be interesting if they could convince him not to start. He certainly would improve a second unit. Now they usually want to. They usually keep Durant, Thompson, one of those guys is always on the floor usually. But it would be interesting if they could say, "Hey, you're working back," and convince him you'd be a bigger help to us if you came off the bench. If he would accept that, I think that's a spot where he could slide in and certainly help their second unit.
Yeah.
And they don't, and maybe he's a guy you feature more as opposed to a guy who's a complimentary piece with the starters.
We'll see what happens with Durant, but I could certainly see this being the one and only season with Boogie.
Oh, I think they even kind of alluded to that, that he's a guy who they want to get a big deal someplace else.
Yeah. What was he, $5 million this year?
Yeah.
I think it's five, whatever he is. I don't look at it like, and this offseason, everybody, it's over and they got Boogie. I'm not so sure that Boogie makes them a better team. His, what they do is not They certainly, maybe they can play more inside-out game.
Yeah, and we saw in the playoffs, and it's not something the Warriors fans were all that thrilled with, particularly the Rocket series, how often they went into Kevin Durant to go one-on-one, whether it be in the post or on the perimeter, if that is because they thought they had the matchup, and really Kevin Durant's like their ultimate cheat code. He's a matchup nightmare for anyone. Boogie can be that too if on your second unit you're looking to exploit somebody. I don't know who the Rockets, say it's the Rockets and Nene gets more time because Boogie's on the floor. They would probably try to exploit that matchup as often as they could. So that's, I think, where he can be a benefit and not taking away from what they do consistently when they think with their second unit they can exploit a matchup throughout the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, during that, Fred, I don't know, did you hear the Fred and AJ promo that we were playing?
I did.
Talking about Deshaun Watson, and he's got an anchor around. We need to probably, I mean, at the time, that was timely and probably accurate. It's just like me and Lance talking about how Jason Garrett's going to get fired.
Yeah, that one played as well.
That one plays, yeah, that plays all the time. And that was when they were really, really terrible and not on this nice run and going to the playoffs. And yet we continue to play that here. I think we have to upgrade that. Because while they were talking, I went and looked. And I'm looking at Deshaun's numbers. And when you look at other young quarterbacks, this run that Deshaun is on with not throwing interceptions and not turning the ball over for a second-year guy that's basically in the middle of his second season. Because his first season was cut so short. He played his 16 games. He's played 23 games now in his career. And when you're 26-9, he has been sacked 62 times, which is some of it is on him. But his 103.1 rating is pretty damn good. Plus, add 551 yards rushing to his season. I obviously this was early on that Fred and AJ were talking about it when the Texans were scuffling, when they were, at one point they were talking about this, but early on he didn't look like the same guy. Man, I'll take 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions every year out of Deshaun.
And if you still believe that Bill O'Brien is an anchor, I think it would have less to do with what he's actually doing with Deshaun and a lot of the things outside of play calling at this point. Now, some people took issue with how much Deshaun was in the game late against the Jags or whatever, but like the timeout stuff, the inability to manage a game. I think if we want to call him an anchor, that's really an anchor for the entire team. His inability to maximize situations. But as far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, I wouldn't call him that. But I do think if you have concerns about, is he going to be a guy who maximizes everything the Texans are capable of because of his sometimes shaky game management situations, I can buy that. But as far as what Deshaun has done, I wouldn't call him an anchor anymore.
No, I wouldn't either. Do you like what he's doing around the goal line and running option with Deshaun?
I don't mind it. I mean, it's a very college thought process. He's not necessarily banging his head into a brick wall like Sam Ehlinger does for 4 straight plays, but college offenses have done that for years.
Yeah.
You use your quarterback as the guy because you have an extra blocker. We hear it all the time. I don't mind it. Deshaun's not Cam Newton, so I guess you have to find ways to I feel better if they found a big back who could get in the end zone, but I don't mind it so much if that's your way of scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
No, and I mean, you look at these guys now. Look at the way Josh Allen ran the football. Obviously, Lamar Jackson. The way Deshaun Trubisky is a really good runner, surprisingly good runner.
What does that mean, John?
No, well, I don't know that he was known nearly as much. I know he's a white guy.
What do you mean surprisingly?
Josh Allen is... I think he's white too, Dell.
Yeah, I'm saying, I watched enough Trubisky in college because he played in the ACC, where my favorite team resides. And his 1 year as a starter, Larry Fedora would use him very similarly to what you're seeing in Chicago. He was a guy who would put him in situations, whether it be design runs, as far as read option, or even just design quarterback draws. He would use him quite a bit that way. So I am not surprised that Trubisky runs as much as he does, and he's effective at it as he is. I am surprised about Josh Allen only because I wasn't watching Wyoming football.
Yeah, no. I don't know that. I don't think Wyoming was watching Wyoming football. But yeah, he's spectacular
running.
We saw Sam Darnold in college run the football well too.
And Josh Allen is not, he's best when it's not designed.
But look at this year who did we lose? We lost Alex Smith, right? And that was on a freak double hit
that was
twisted his leg and nearly killed him. He nearly died from that
his
hit.
His football career nearly died. And it might still be up for debate.
Yeah, I think he nearly died, too.
He was breathing, John.
Who else? And look, and I don't know that we've seen the proliferation of running quarterbacks as much as they're running. And I will say this. I know we hate the rules. We hate protecting the quarterback, put a dress on him. This is crap. He's not down or whatever the case may be. All of these calls, but it has made the league that much better. Not losing quarterbacks is why I think that there's been such a resurgence with the league this year. That and the whole controversy and all that crap not going on surrounding it and all of that stuff. I think addressing domestic violence has helped as well, and all of this stuff, all the stuff that they're doing off the field. I think that all that stuff has come and really helped the league. But the fact that you have, that you're not playing, for the most part, all these backup quarterbacks, losing stars, has really helped. I know defensive guys and old school guys, they want to see more defense and whatnot, but the league seems to be fun again. And in large part because we have a bunch of young, really good quarterbacks right now and not getting hurt.
Yeah, ESPN put up the numbers. I think it's 6 quarterbacks in the playoffs, 25 and younger. Lamar Jackson at the youngest at 21 years old. And if you like the Lamar Jackson story, you should be in favor of the rules protecting quarterbacks, because I'm not sure he would run as much if there was an opportunity for him to, you know, die on every play.
Right. I don't think you could.
No. I think the rules have helped certainly quarterbacks stay healthy. But to your point about the ratings coming back, I don't know if it's as much to do with domestic violence or attacking it as far as the NFL is concerned, because Reuben Foster got immediately signed. Now it turns out charges have been dropped multiple times for him, but I think football will always be king. Until, I don't know, the kneeling has gone to the wayside, so that may have brought some people back. But I think people, as much as their outrage is about all the things that they hate about the NFL, it's still king. I think it was simply a downturn, and now that people can say, all right, I don't have to watch players kneeling, the NFL will always rule.
Yeah. No, I agree. And they're doing, they market their game well. They have star power. All of these things are really really helping. And Deshaun is part of that. I don't mind him running at all right now. I know. And the biggest question this going into this, well, if he can stay healthy. Why? I never understood why. Why? Because he's had 2 knee injuries. But knee injuries are freaky things.
And I think, at least in my opinion, the health thing isn't a catastrophic thing. It's more the accumulation of hits affecting his performance as far as a rib we don't hear about. Or shoulder we don't hear about, affecting the way he plays the game.
Right.
I think that would be my bigger concern as opposed to something really drastic happening. And Bill O'Brien's taking the Dabo Sweeney approach. Dabo didn't run Deshaun against Wake Forest in week 8. When it came to winning championships, Deshaun's carries went up. And that's what you're seeing now.
That's what you're going to see on Saturday as well. That's tomorrow. And it's not right here on ESPN 97.5.
No, it is not.
But Gilbert is, and we'll see if he's awake when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5. You gotta know my name.
You gotta know my name. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 749 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Look at that. And just as we were talking about this, Lance and I talking about Jason Garrett's job during one of the promos that we made up here. They're asking the question right now on ESPN, is Jason Garrett's job on the line here? Do you think if they lose this game that Jason Garrett could get fired?
It's a home loss. When's the last time he won?
I would highly doubt that.
What's his record in the playoffs? He lost his last game against the Packers.
And one?
He's only been to playoffs two times?
1-2? Did they I think they won one game under him in the playoffs. They've only made it a couple of times.
I have to look, because I know their last one was when Dak's rookie year and they lost to the Packers.
They lost to the Packers on the Dez Bryant catch, not catch?
They lost that one, too. That was the Tony Romo in the NFC championship or divisional round.
It was 1-2.
1-2, because they lost to the Packers with Dak. Remember Aaron Rodgers rolled to the left and threw a dart?
Yeah.
And that cost them a game, even though Dak played really well in that one.
I thought that was a fun throw.
I'm sure you did, because the Cowboys were feeling really good about themselves, had home field, at least for that game.
1-2 in how many years has he been their head coach?
Quite a while.
A dozen years?
He's been around a long
time. 1-2? I mean, I guess he could lose his job. I thought Jerry. I mean, he loves this guy.
Yeah.
Since 2011.
How long?
2011.
Yeah, he was the interim in 2010, full-time in 2011. He's only had one losing season as a Cowboys head coach. He's had 3-8-8s, but he's had a 4-12 season. That was his only losing season in 2015. But yeah, he's been around. 77-59 is his record, 1-2 in the playoffs. So I wouldn't have thought that he's only had one losing season. But the Cowboys have been the epitome of mediocrity, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, and how many years in a row did they lose the last game under Tony Romo and not make the playoffs? I just don't see it. I don't see Jerry loves this guy.
I
don't see him firing him. Now, if they would have gone and stayed the course and not made the playoffs and been a mediocre again, I certainly could have seen that.
Yeah, but winning the NFC East for the second time in 3 years, I mean, I guess if Jerry has a reaction, depending, I guess if there's a blowout, but I don't see it. I don't see him getting fired either.
Yeah. No, I think this is going to be a close game. I do think they're going to keep. I like Seattle in that one. Of course, I'm not a big Cowboy fan, but
you're not a Cowboy fan at all.
No, but Seattle is. I kind of like them.
Who?
The Cowboys.
How so?
I like to watch when they lose.
Yeah, that doesn't make you a fan.
No, yeah, it does. I like to watch.
You hate watch the Cowboys.
No, I like to watch the Cowboys when they lose. It's fun to me. I do. Seattle's about as surprising as you can get, isn't it?
I
mean,
I guess.
With all the legion of boom that they lost.
I mean, that franchise, and they've drafted well. That's why they became who they were, because of how well they drafted. And they've just been really quiet. We stopped paying attention to them. I guess if we were paying attention, we might have noticed it.
Yeah, but look at their offensive firepower. Carson.
You have a star quarterback.
Yeah. Doug Baldwin is playing well.
Look who the Texans offer the star of firepower. They have a potential star quarterback.
You have the best receiver in the game
That's one, and there's really nothing else you can really say that guy's a top five guy at his position.
How many yards do you think Lamar Miller had this year?
I know he had a run of 100-yard games. Did he get to 1,000? I'm going to say he got to 1,000.
973.
Really close. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had himself a nice year.
Yeah. And I'm just saying the Texans, as far as firepower, I mean, Doug Baldwin has reached the level because of Russell Wilson, I guess. But how different? The Seahawks have Jimmy Graham. No, they don't. He's in Green Bay now, right? But they have guys because of Russell Wilson, just like the Texans players. Kiki QT, when he plays, all of a sudden he's a star because he has Deshaun Watson throwing
well, and Fuller, when he plays, right?
He has Deshaun throw. So those. I feel like it's the same thing. You have a star quarterback. He's going to make guys you don't really think are good players, good players.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is unbelievable. But Carson, Mike Davis, Rashad Penny, Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, David Moore, Nick Vanette is their tight end. I mean, they're doing it. I guess it's similar to the Texans.
Look, if you went down the Texans list of players, now DeAndre's better than Doug Baldwin, but those are the two number ones. Go down the Texans perimeter players.
Who would you rather have, Chris Carson or Lamar Miller?
I haven't seen enough Chris Carson, so I guess I'm taking Lamar by
Lockett,
default.
Lockett, Baldwin, Moore.
I'd take the Seahawks wide receivers over the Texans wide receivers.
You would? Over Hopkins, Tyler, Fuller, and
Fuller's not here.
And Thomas?
Well, aren't two of those guys...
Well, okay, but I mean, if they're healthy, well, I guess that's...
Yeah, they're not. Will Fuller's never healthy.
Yeah, I guess that plays into it.
That is part of the equation when you talk about him. You can't remove it from the equation.
No, you can't.
So I'm taking the Seahawks because Tyler Lockett stays on the field. And he's their deep threat, much like Will Fuller's a deep threat, except he's more often around.
Which offensive line would you take?
I feel like they're similar.
Yeah, they run the football, though.
Well, the Texans do, too. Outside the last couple weeks, but before the last couple weeks, the Texans were running the football, too.
Yeah, they were. The last 4 weeks, they haven't run the football. Yeah,
that's changed.
The last 4 weeks
or so.
The Texans this year have run for, they've run for 2,000 yards. The Seahawks have run for 2,500, 2,560. Yeah. They run the football better. And that's a big reason why Seattle is where it's at. The surprising thing for me is all the defensive changes and how well they've done, well they've played. But I like the Seahawks going in there.
And Tyler Lockett, talk about what a quarterback could do for you. Russell Wilson has a perfect passer rating when throwing the ball to Tyler Lockett. Perfect passer rating.
Wow.
70 targets, completed 57 of them for 965 yards, 10 TDs and no interceptions. That makes that a perfect passer rating thrown to one guy. So now that little small fast guy, most people wouldn't think you could get those numbers with him. But you have a superstar quarterback, and it makes everything go. So it would happen here if Will Fuller was on the field.
Yeah, dude just wins. There's no question about that. I think he's one of the most underrated players in there. He and Drew Brees are probably two of the most underrated. And Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, and I think he's getting his due this year. But we've always Russell Wilson is just a guy for everybody.
Yeah, well,
he's always been a second-tier guy, and that's all he does is win.
Remember, it was the defense who got them that first title running game in the defense. Then the Seahawks tried to transition into a more Russell Wilson type of center team, and people question, why would you do that? He just quietly goes about his business, and he's up there in the Pacific Northwest. We don't care about him so much when it's not loud from the other players around the team, but he's a superstar.
Is that PD or Pod, P-O-D-D? Who is that? Pod? All right. Let's get Pod in here, Michael. Hey, Pod, how are you?
Doing good, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Awesome. Real quick, I was just wondering what y'all thought about last time Seattle and Dallas played earlier in the season, man, this defense was playing totally different. And the way that Chris Richard has them playing now, it's just really two different defenses. And also, with Chris Richard coming from Seattle and his defense going up against Russ Wilson every day in practice, I think that he knows more about Russell Wilson than anybody else, and I think that may factor in as well. At least I'm hoping so. Anyway, I wanted to see what y'all thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a bit of an advantage there because you certainly know what he could do. I would imagine they're going to change things up some. Yeah, they beat the Cowboys 24-13 early in the year, third game of the season. I don't know that matters to you.
No, I don't know that it matters how much Chris Richard knows Russell Wilson at this point. Russell Wilson, we just went through it. He's a star. Does it matter what anyone knows about the star quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, here's the thing: is Russell Wilson, even if you do know about him, wiggle his way.
Yeah.
He's so mobile and so. Yeah, I don't know that makes a big difference. Now, if it was more a pocket guy, and even then, a Brady or a Manning, you know, the superstars play well, even if you know them.
It's the equivalent of what we talk about when it comes to James Harden. You know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. Yeah, go ahead. Now, Chris Richard may have an advantage because he knows the Seahawks, but you still have a superstar quarterback on the other side.
And you might have a perfect defense.
He slips one tackle. Rusher, and then he gets out of the pocket, and now you're screwed.
Yep. All right, 758, ESPN 97.5. I wonder if Gilbert's awake. We'll find out on the other side right here, probably or maybe not, on ESPN 97.5.